Dig It, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shillaga, let your inspiration grow.
I'm joined in the studio by Hester McDonald, who is here this morning to talk about seeds. We are talking about growing from seed, how to keep those seeds, how to make life easy for yourself when doing so, and how to also make sure that they survive through the winter. Also, can you grow from seed for free? All right, that sounds okay. Hester, welcome back to the studio. How are you doing?
I'm very well.
How was your summer?
Delightful.
How did your garden survive the summer?
Quite crispily. I think would be fairly accurate to say.
Everything got a little bit crispy over the summer, with those temperatures.
It did.
So did everything die?
No, it was interesting. Anything that was very tightly planted next to other things did better.
Right, okay.
And you might have thought that the opposite would be true, that they would all be desperately trying to use the same water. But actually, they gave each other protection and made a little kind of mini ecosystem. So any individuals, things that were kind of out on their own, they struggled.
We're talking about seeds today, but we've got lots of questions and some of them are seed related, some of them are not. I've got this message that's come in from David, and I think that it's really relevant to do it right now, actually, because it is very much referencing the weather over the summer. This is a photo I'm showing Hester, a photo of David's lawn that he has emailed in, and he says, "Is my lawn a goner?" I think that it's really relevant. I think quite a lot of us want to know if things are going to come back, if we're going to need to take steps to maybe replace things if we want a nice garden next year. So just let's go to David for a sec. Is his lawn a goner?
I think it might be all right. There's quite a lot of green. And so I'm guessing that he hasn't watered it over the summer, which is fair enough. The lawns, in my view, should largely fend for themselves. Yeah. And if they die, well, too bad.
Sure.
And they will mostly come back. I would have a look at the very brown and bare patches. Give them a bit of a scrape. Pull up the rest of the grass, which probably is dead in those sections, and reseed it. Now is the perfect time to be reseeding.
So now, reseed
those funny little patches. You can use Patch Magic or any of the overseed mixes that you can get, and water it. But it's the perfect temperature. Now is the time to manage to pull it back to its form of glory. Gorgeous before.
It was totally on topic given the seed theme. So given what did well, why might we want to keep our seeds? Not just grass seeds, but any seeds.
Well, I like it. It's fun. It's a really fun thing to do. I'm also quite nerdy about, I love looking at seeds. They're so incredibly varied. They're all so different and they're quite beautiful to look at. I've got a little collection here in front of us of things that I picked up in the garden in Pongeant, the Chateau, yesterday. And they're all so different. They're really lovely to look at. They're also quite interesting as to how the plant has evolved its own mechanism to disperse its own seeds and to share them and to get them as far away from the parent plant as possible in order to get going. And there's kind of the aesthetics of it. It's quite interesting. It's a fun thing to do with kids, or it's a fun thing to do yourself as well, to pick them and to keep them in order to make more of the same thing. And if there's something you really like in your own garden or maybe out of a friend's garden, why not pick the seeds and give it a go and see what comes up?
How do you do it? You say that you picked those up in Pongeant yesterday.
Yeah.
How do you go pick the seeds?
So I would start off by looking at the plant itself. Choose one that's healthy, because you don't want either the seeds to already have problems, fungal problems or bacterial problems, or actually to be choosing a plant that's very prone to those things, because ideally you want the parental characteristics that you're choosing from that plant to be reproduced in the offspring. And if it's showing that it's, you know, resistant to, I don't know, mildew, that's the one you want.
Yeah.
So pick a good, clean, healthy plant with loads of seed heads. And I would look for seed heads that are already fully formed and are probably going brown a little bit and kind of wrinkly and crispy and ready to go. If you're looking at, say, a poppy, give it a little shake and you'll hear the seeds rattle inside it, because you don't want to pick an immature seed head because the seeds won't be ready to go and they won't ever germinate if they're picked as an immature stage. You know, if you look at a pepper, would be a really good example. You chop open a pepper and usually the seeds inside a pepper, instead of bell pepper, are kind of white and shiny and quite kind of clump together. If you get one that's a little bit further on its developmental stage and you cut that open, they're already kind of starting to separate away from the flesh.
Ah.
And those ones are ripe. that's what you want.
That's what you'd want for planting.
Yeah, that's exactly what you'd want for planting. So if you've got a very kind of unstable seed, like a poppy would be a really good example, or these little asters which are turning into fluff in front of us, you can put a bag, a paper bag is really good for this, and pick the whole seed head and tip it upside down into the bag. Because if you pick it, once sometimes happens, it goes padoing, and the whole lot explodes everywhere.
Good gesture.
Yeah, and you then don't have any seeds. What you have is lots of seeds all over the ground.
Yeah.
Not so useful. So then if you put the whole stem together into a bag or into a container, an envelope, when you get home then, you can gently open it and separate out the seeds, which is the bit you want, from the chaff, which is usually the capsule or the little container that the plant has carefully made to look after the seeds to make sure that they don't get lost.
To protect it.
To protect it. So once you've done that, put them out onto paper or even kitchen paper, anything like that, and let them dry for a week or so, because really moisture is the enemy of safely and well kept seeds. Because if you get any moisture into your seed envelope or into your packet, they're going to rot.
Yeah, that's strange to me, because plants need water.
They do, but only when you say go. Because what you don't want to happen, obviously, is that there's just the right amount of moisture and darkness and cool, and they start germinating inside the packet.
Got it.
That would be annoying. So then you let them out the dry, label the envelope. Good idea, because
smart.
I guarantee every single little dot of a seed starts looking quite like its neighbours quite quickly. And then put the clean, dry seeds back into your envelope, and then you can sow them next spring. There are some that you can sow straight away. We'll come on to them afterwards.
What are the really, really easy ones, Hester?
Honesty, which I've got in front of me here, which is a sort of brassica, has these beautiful sort of see-through little round envelopes. And they make these gorgeous purple flowered, very, very fragrant flowers in sort of April, May time. Bees absolutely love them.
You're holding a thing that looks like the size of a 5-franc coin. It's a chunky thing. So that's the envelope that contains multiple
seeds.
There.
If you lick it up, pick it up, you can see. So that when you pull the string, literally on the edge of it, the whole packet opens and you have these beautiful little flattish seeds.
Smart.
They're lovely. You can see why their name is Silver Dollars.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, isn't it? It's great.
Like a little coin.
So they're, exactly. They're really easy. I would also say sunflowers are brilliant. I mean, because you can literally let your sunflowers dry out. Oh, there you go. In fact, the honesty's just popped open. There you go.
That might have been me playing
with it.
It's
nice and silver. It's absolutely lovely. Sunflowers, dead easy.
Yeah.
Let the one that you like best dry out. You might need to protect it from birds because sunflowers are delicious.
Sunflower seeds
are delicious.
Edible.
Yeah. So, and then just keep the ones that you like. They're really, really easy. Poppies are another one. Really easy. Just pick the seed head. You can hear the seeds rattling around inside. Mm-hmm. Asters, any daisy-like flowers like that, they turn into this really sweet fluff that we have in front of us here. And then you just sow them individually. Each little tiny bit of fluff is a seed. Pretty
amazing.
Brilliant, right?
We will get on to other things that are a little bit trickier on the show. Stay tuned. Hester, it's great talking about seeds. What a little seed collection that you have over there. Love it. We'll maybe pop a picture on our social media as well so that you can see Hester McDonald talking about seeds here in the studio today.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glon and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
I do wish you could see Hester do a little dance whenever that little jingle comes on. It is Dig It. We're talking about seeds this morning with Hester McDonald, our pro who knows all about gardening. And you know what? We talked about some of the easier seeds to plant and grow. What are some of the trickier ones, Hester?
I find tomatoes quite tricky.
Oh,
just because it's
that.
A wee... It's a bit messy.
Right.
Because when you open them up...
Mm.
The seeds are very much attached to the squidgy bit, the flesh still. Even if they're kind of clumped together in the middle, it's a little bit disgusting. And so what you're supposed to do is put them in a jar of water and the flesh kind of, and shake it every so often, about 3 or 4 days, and then the flesh just falls to the bottom and the seeds float.
So it'll detach it all.
It does. It works quite well. I have to say I have then had to sort of dry them out on paper towels. It's messy and it's fiddly. I would prefer to do butternut squash or squash generally because it's actually quite satisfying pulling all the stringy bits off.
It's also
a bit disgusting. Like, they're not dry, so they're a bit squishy and yuck.
It's very seasonal of you, though, to bring that up right now.
And they're so easy. So pumpkins are sort of super easy to seed the next year. Tomatoes I find a little bit temperamental. The best ones I ever had was when I got my children to collect in the last of the cherry tomatoes and discovered they've been having a tomato fight outside, and I found little tomatoes sprouting up all over my garden the following year.
I mean, if they're that easy, then
I think maybe
we just
a bit of neglect
would
be easier.
I've got some questions from lots of different listeners that have started emailing in, and let's jump on to this one if we can.
Okay.
There's one that's come in from Erica, and Erica was very organised and sent an email in at the end of last week, actually. So Erica has said, I'd like to ask you how and when to sow the seeds of the, here we go, Talictrum delivii.
Yeah.
Did I nail it?
Yeah.
Did I?
Totally.
Didn't have any confidence in it though, did I?
Yeah, just take a run at it next time, it's fine.
All right. Otherwise known as the Chinese meadow rue, in a pot, as I do not have a garden. So can't you put this in a pot? Can I do it now? Do I have to wait for February? I've got a closed balcony so that I can control temperatures. This is Erica.
Oh, Thalictrum's lovely. Absolutely. It's beautiful. So the leaves look a little bit like aquilegias or granny's bonnets, and they're, but they're much taller and they have these little cup-shaped white or purpley flowers, and they look amazing massive together in sort of this hazy, beautiful planting. You see them a lot in perennial plantings. They are ace. I love them. The great thing about them, you can either plant it now while the seed is fresh, or you can wait till February. I would get on with it, stuff half in a pot now, save the rest, and if nothing's come up, well, then have another go in February. And they need to go cold over the winter. They need to be exposed to stratification. They need to be they need to think it's winter if they're outside. And if they're inside, well, it doesn't matter. Stick them in an envelope.
So she said, I've got a closed balcony. I can control temperatures.
Just let it pretend it's winter.
Right. You want it to go cold.
Yeah.
It needs to.
If it's been planted, yeah.
Eric, I hope that helps. Dave said, we have one enormous sunflower. The rest are lovely, but not as big. Can I take seeds from the big one without damaging it? And then when do I sow those?
Oh, that's a good question. Can you take seeds without damaging it? You are eventually going to have to cut it, I'm afraid to say. But if you want to leave it as long as possible because it's looking amazing, if you can get up to it or bend it gently down to the ground, you can take some seeds if they're ready to be taken. So if they detach easily from the middle of the sunflower, then you can take a few. The only question is, why was that one exceptional? And if you sow the seeds, you may find that you don't get any really tall ones, or maybe only one of them is really tall. So take a selection, see what happens. And in terms of sowing, you can sow them indoors about 8 weeks before the last frost. Yogurt pots are the standard thing to put them in, and then transplant them outside, or wait until all frost is passed and then sow them outside, but they'll flower a bit later.
Sam is after my own heart here, because Sam and I both have a bunch of avocado seeds or pits that we've got to sprout, still in water. Sam's are still in water. I've actually planted mine in little pots now. But Sam's still in water, and Sam said, we've managed to get them to this stage before, but then they dry out, die or rot before we can get them into soil. What do we do to get them to survive the potting up stage, and how long should we expect to wait for avocados?
That's a good question.
If ever.
Good
question. Is it
3 to 10 years, which is an annoyingly variable amount. And then you read that the majority of kind of industrial production, large scale production, are on grafted trees anyway, so yours might not make a real. However, it's quite fun and I love the idea. So I would say, when you put them up, be really careful of the roots. It might be that you're accidentally damaging your roots of your plants or the sprouts when they get potted up. I'd also say cut back the sprout, the top section.
It's so hard to do.
I know, it's heartbreaking. You think, I'm killing my plant. You're not. You're actually giving it a better chance at survival, because it means that it's not pumping out quite so much water from the underside of the leaves, which means that the roots aren't under quite so much stress, and it just makes life a lot easier for the plant. I would also say, don't completely bury the seed.
Yes.
Leave probably the top third poking out, that looks a bit like an egg out of an egg cup. It looks weird. And I wonder whether, if you're burying it fully, I think that the seed coat rots and then introduces all sorts of unfortunate fungal problems to the whole pot. I'd say try that. In terms of actually getting avocados, who knows? 3 to 10 years or never.
Good luck. My windowsills are absolutely covered with avocado plants.
Are you giving them away?
I would love to. Does anyone want one? Because I've tried to give away several.
People refusing your offers. You have to start taking them as gifts to people, then they can't refuse them. Here's an avocado that I grew for you.
What I've done. And one last one just for now. My daughter really loves pink cosmos. If I save the seeds from our cosmos this year, will we get the same next year?
Oh, it's a good question. So it depends. It depends. So the majority of things like cosmos that you buy that are all a very uniform colour or a very uniform height have come from a special hybrid called an F1 hybrid. And this is the deliberate pairing, a bit like we were talking about the sunflowers, deliberate pairing of two parents that have often two quite different characteristics. One might have pink flowers and is quite short, and the other one's quite tall and has white flowers. And it's been deliberately crossed so that you get pink flowers of a certain height. Mm. And you will probably see, if you save the seeds from your pink, if you reseed them next year in kind of, you know, the same for sunflowers, either before the last frost indoors over a seed tray, or just do them outside as soon as the risk of frost is past, you will probably find you're going to see the parentage of these bright pink cosmos. So you'll see little short ones, really tall ones, some different colour flowers, but they're very pretty. And why not? Give it a go.
Thanks so much. We've got more of your questions that are coming in. If you have any questions, we'll see if we can get to them. studio@worldradio.ch. We'll also take a look at some of the gardens that are perfect to visit this month. So very, very timely advice if you're looking to get out there and see some beautiful gardens. Hester, stay with us.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
I would definitely get some sedums because they're really great plants. So Herbstreu would be the tall one. There are also lots of ones with kind of plum-coloured leaves as well, which look really fantastic. And there's lots of teeny-tiny ones as well. Things like Sedum Acre, which is 5 centimetres tall and are perfect for rooftops if you want to cover, say, your shed roof, if it's not too slopey, something like that. And you can get them in rolls. So if you look up sedum roll mats, or you can also get them in little kind of like egg box shapes, and you just plump the whole thing down onto a rooftop. They're absolutely brilliant and they really look after themselves. So I have some sedums on a rooftop that I've been looking at to see how they've behaved, and I didn't water them because they were on a roof and it was too far, and I really want to see what happened to them. And in about August I was thinking, oh dear, these are looking quite crispy.
Yeah,
and they've all come back.
Survivors.
Yeah, little they really survivors. Are. They're great. And they're all in the shops right now, and there's loads of choice. Knock yourselves out.
If, however, all of this just sounds like slightly too much faff, and you just want to go and see flowers that somebody else is taking care of, where would you go right now?
So, if you live in Geneva, I would take myself off to the new rose garden in the Parc des Eaux Vives.
Why is it so nice right now?
So, it's been being rebuilt for about 3 years. There was an old traditional rose garden, though, which got ripped out, I think, in the interest of not having a monoculture. And they've replanted it, and it's the epitome of a well-constructed, well-designed modern rose garden. So roses make up, I'd say, maybe 10%, 20% at most of the planting, and they're totally integrated with lots of other perennials, other climbers, some shrubs, mostly fairly drought resistant. There's quite a lot of plants that you'll get great ideas for if you don't want to water and you don't want to weed too much. The combinations of the plants are just gorgeous right now. It's looking perfect.
What's happening in Aubonne? There's Day of the Plant.
There is. There's the autumn edition of the Arboretum's plant sale on the 24th and 25th of September. So I'd say it's a good opportunity to stock up on any losses possibly that you might have possibly experienced over the summer. And also to enjoy the Arboretum at this time of the year because it's looking cracking.
If you want a full-on trip and to get away, where would you go?
I would go to Italy. My heart belongs in Cernobbio for Orticolario. Orticolario is my all-time favourite Italian garden show. It is gorgeous, beautifully selected, accessories, lots of delicious things to eat, gorgeous plants. Also some really interesting show gardens, some of which are garden gardens, some of which are kind of conceptual ephemeral gardens. I'm on the jury for that, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Congrats.
I absolutely cannot wait. And the tickets have just gone on sale and they're very reasonable. Full day is €19 and a half day is 13. I think that's all right.
That one runs 29th of September to the 2nd of October. You've got it a couple does. Of weeks to plan that trip. And then just before you dash off there, you will be doing a tour at Plongeon.
I will. Yes, the 25th of September with me, Pumpkins, Gourds and more. Come and have a look at our amazing pumpkin patch in the Château in Plongeon. And there's lots else to see as well.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Time to tackle some more of your questions with Hester MacDonald, all about gardens. Not so much about seeds now. Let's just step off topic for a second, Hester. I do have some questions. I've got Helen who said, we moved to Geneva in March. We bought a selection of plants. I thought I'd be happy on our balcony, or I thought they would be happy on our balcony. Almost all of them died. What did we do wrong? Our balcony's really sunny. And I thought that lavender in particular would be okay. The only things that didn't die are the laurels and a rose. What should I do next year?
Well, cat be happy that your lavender's dead. It's your least favourite plant.
Meh,
lavender. I suspect that it was a couple of things. I wonder whether it's partly pot size. I suspect that your laurels and your rose were in considerably bigger containers than your lavender.
Is that to do as well with some of the heat, do you reckon, like keeping some of the water in, moisture?
Well, it's to do with available moisture in a pot. Bigger is better for pots on balconies and terraces and anything else.
If go big.
Go big or go home. Really, it is definitely the only way to do it. Because it just means that the plant is less stressed. There's always more water available. And it means that it can keep more water as well. So when you water, less is likely to run out the bottom. So I suspect it's pot size. I'm sure that lavender, if you put it in a much, much bigger pot next year, will be fine. And it's also to do with regularity of watering. So there are plants that don't mind a bit of heat, like lavender, but do need to be watered sometimes. And plants that don't mind a bit of heat, like aloes or other succulents, and don't need to be watered every day. And I wonder whether it's regularity of watering and possibly also orientation. If it's in hot, 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 straight sun all day, then any plant is going to struggle.
Really a theme with some of the questions that are coming in. We've also got another one from Guy who said, I'd like to put some nice plants on our terrace. I've looked at the garden centres. All of the summer plants have gone. What do you suggest? And also says all of our hydrangeas have got yellow leaves. Is that from the hot summer?
Yeah, back to heat again, really. Yeah. So I'd say, Guy, I would give it probably 2 weeks for the garden centres. They're selling off the last of their summer stock right now. And the autumn winter stock is coming in. I would hold onto your hat and your wallet for a couple of weeks and pop back in then, and the place will be heaving with beautiful autumn and winter plants, where then you can put in things like skimmias, you can put in beautiful heuchers, those lovely coloured leaves. There's going to be loads of stock then, so I would wait and see.
So we've got a plant, a gift to give away, a competition from Shilliger Garden Centre to give away on the show today.
Woo!
I'm going to tell you how you can get into the draw. Hester, can you describe this rather lovely
gift? It's an Elho mini grow kit. It's a mini greenhouse. So if you don't have a greenhouse outside in your garden, you can put this on a windowsill.
I love it. I've also just got confirmation that we can give away 5 mini plants.
Woo!
Inside, so you'll already have a little kit ready to go. But if you'd like to start with some seeds, I mean, that would mean that you've been paying attention. Because I want to keep this nice and simple, I'm going to ask you to send in the name of the show today. It is Dig It. That's all you need to do. If you would like to get into the draw for this little mini greenhouse that we have got to give away, mini greenhouse and grow kit plus 5 mini plants courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre. Thank you so much to them for supplying this excellent prize, as they do each and every show. So send in the words Dig It to 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS. That's from a Swiss mobile. You can also email us at studio@worldradio.ch, and you can go pick it up from Shilliger in Gland. So you can enter the competition even if you are over the border in neighbouring France, say. So let me know if you want to win that. Send in the words Dig It. Hester, thanks very much for joining us this morning and telling us all about seeds and where to go to visit some lovely gardens. It's great to have you for Dig It.
Thank you.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.